Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah! How's everybody doing on this beautiful Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024? Robert Saleh secretly hates Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams will indeed be a New York Jet. And the Yankees are about to make a very, very bad decision. We'll get to all of that as the show rolls on. But last night, the New York Mets did it again. They're down 2-0. No problem. Here's three runs for you. They're down 4-3. No problem. We'll take advantage of the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, being a complete moron and not understanding his own team. The New York Mets take advantage of the Brewer faux pas. They win game one, but I need to apologize to somebody. It's very important.
Who would that be?
That person is Luis Severino. Luis Severino has been maligned in this town for way too long. He's been maligned in this town as a guy that comes up small in the biggest of spots. He got maligned by even me the other day.
Yeah. Yesterday you were maligning him.
Was that yesterday?
Yes, it was. Well, because you gave him a pretty pedestrian accomplishment that he needed to hit, and it wasn't good enough for you. 5 innings, 3 hits. Would you take that? I said, yeah, that'd be great. You said, no.
No.
No. 6 innings, 4 runs.
Did I say it like that? I said it like, no.
Sort of. Kind of.
Kind of.
Maybe I'm exaggerating.
You know what? Severino's...
That's what it felt like you said.
Maybe it did. I was anxious. I mean, it was right before a playoff game. The first playoff game in 2 years. The first playoff game I was watching on TV in 9 years. But I think what Luis Severino reminded you yesterday is that sometimes pitching lines, you know, we could sit here today and talk about pitching lines. Mm-hmm. I take this, I take that. Sometimes it's about how you do it. And I thought what Luis Severino did yesterday, late afternoon, early evening, was show balls of stones. Mm. There was a chance he was going to get knocked out in the first inning.
Yes.
The Brewers had the bases loaded and one out. And after he hit Rhys Hoskins to give him a second run, he was able to get through the inning without it getting ugly. Then the Mets gave him a lead, and he pitched through trouble in the second and the third. And then he pitched into more trouble in the fourth, where unfortunately he gave back the lead. Mm-hmm. I was annoyed about that. The Mets then rallied. They scored a bunch of runs in the fifth inning. And this is the difference between pitchers who know how to pitch in the postseason and those that don't. I am still bitter to no end about Tommy Glavine in Game 5 of the 06 NLCS when the Mets gave him a lead, and Tiki, Tommy couldn't wait to flush it. Luis Severino was given a lead last night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and his response was, bing, 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 1-2-3. Bing, 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 1-2-3. Severino shut down the Brewers when the Mets needed him the most because they needed innings out of him. He needed to lock down after being given a lead. And so 6 innings, 4 runs is never pretty. That's actually an ERA of 6, and no one's suggesting that's great. But I think when you look at the lockdown, shutdown innings that he delivered last night and the way he was able to battle in and out of trouble, Luis Severino grew up right before our eyes.
Yeah.
He needed Queens.
You didn't have faith in him, even though Sean and I did. The bigger issue for me is you thought the issue with Luis Severino not being able to, I don't know, have under 2 or 3 runs.
Yeah.
Was it the Mets wouldn't score?
I said that?
Yes, that's what you were terrified of.
Well,
but don't you know you have a oh my God on your team?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Iglesias?
Infield hit.
Infield hit. Diving head first, even though it's not what you should do because it slows you down, but it doesn't matter. You got there in time.
Do you know what the Mets did, though, that in relation to this? So Freddy Peralta had a really good year. It's working, Tiki. I appreciate it. I'm good to go. I had a computer issue, and he saw me try to fix it. And like a good partner, he's like, all right, Evan's talking. I'll try to fix this issue. I'm all good. I got it all figured out. Freddy Peralta was very typical of an ace yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a great first inning. He had one bad inning in the second inning. And I want to make this very, very clear. You want to rip Pete Alonso, wait until it's fair to rip Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso in the second inning with a runner on first and nobody out with the Mets down 2 runs worked a walk against Freddy Peralta. It's one of the most important at-bats of the game. That may sound like crazy over the top. It is. That set up the Jesse Winker bases clearing triple. So I get it. Pete's got to deliver in a big spot. Pete's got to drive in runs. I'm with you. I'll be with you. But last night, not the night to pick on Pete Alonso.
Right. I'm not even worried about Pete Alonso.
Good. I just want to make that clear before anyone calls up today and rips my guy.
I'm excited that the Mets have role players. that they have those guys that aren't superstars.
That's right.
They may not be here in 2 years, but for right now, they're absolutely necessary.
It's kind of like a crazy Saturday night. I may not be with her next year, but I'm going to have a fun night tonight.
Exactly.
But what the Mets did last night that was so exciting and gives me hope moving forward is they took advantage of mistakes. Mm. The Milwaukee Brewers made a couple of mistakes. Not our problem that they made mistakes.
Right.
But what is our joy is when you take advantage of it. So Freddie Peralta walks Pete Alonso, puts the first two guys on base. He made a mistake to Jesse Winker. Pat Murphy made a mistake. He took his ace out after 68 pitches and four innings in which he had settled down and retired nine in a row. Mm. Pat Murphy, the manager of the Brewers, had no idea that Freddie Peralta retired nine in a row. But I did, but you did, but everyone watching did. But their manager, first year as a major league skipper, remember he took over for Craig Counsell, choked in a big moment. And so he went to one of his top-end relievers, and the Mets took advantage of the fact
who hadn't given up an earned run since August?
Yeah, Joel Payamps has been great. But the Mets took advantage of that situation. They said, oh, okay, hey, you want to take your ace out in the fifth inning? Cool, we'll take advantage of it. Jose Iglesias took advantage of something, too. Joel Payamps, not as obvious as Edwin Diaz, hesitated off the mound. Mm. Jose Iglesias hit a rocket ship to first base. That bastard Reese Hoskins made a great defensive play. And he who hesitates doesn't eat dinner. And Joel Payamps hesitated. And if you hesitate against Mr. Infield single, he's going to make you pay. And because of that tiny little mistake, that brief hesitation, that was an infield hit. Tyrone Taylor took advantage of it. He scored from second. And then what happened after that? Infield hit Brandon Nimmo. Big base hit by Mark Vientos on the first pitch. I thought he was the star of the game yesterday. And then J.D. Martinez takes advantage of the fact that Pat Murphy has no idea that Carlos Mendoza's got a weapon named J.D. on his bench who's going to pitch hit for Jesse Winker against the lefty, and he comes through. The Mets said to the Milwaukee Brewers, and hopefully it's a message to everyone else, you make a mistake, we're going to take advantage. And that's what the Mets did throughout this game. The Brewers made mistakes, and the Mets busted right through. And now they are one win away from a place they haven't been in 9 years, the divisional series.
How exciting is that for you? I mean, obviously, I could hear it in your voice. You're counting the victory already.
No. When has that happened?
Never. But I feel it in your voice.
No.
Because there's always a negativity that comes in your voice at some point, Evan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And maybe that's going to happen, I don't know, at 5:30 this afternoon.
Yeah, when we get closer to first pitch.
And you start worrying about all the other things that could go wrong as opposed to all the things that went right yesterday. But my biggest takeaway from this game is it's not the stars. Lindor didn't have a hit. He scored a run. He didn't have a hit in this game. It was Tyrone Taylor. It was Jesse Winker, right? It was Iglesias. It was all of those guys who were the catalyst for the Mets' victory.
No, when
those guys are winning the games that when your stars aren't playing, it just makes you feel like anything is possible.
It's a great point. The core members of the New York Mets, Francisco Lindor was 0-for-3 with a walk. Mm-hmm. Brandon Nimmo did have that big infield hit against the lefty, Aaron Ashby. I don't want to minimize it, but he was 1-for-4. Pete Alonso was only 0-for-1 because he walked three times. And Starling Marte was 0-for-2 with a sacrifice fly. They didn't get a lot of production from the core guys.
Alvarez as well.
But you're right. They got the key moments, the key plays, and the big hits from guys like Jesse Winker, from J.D. Martinez off the bench, from Jose Iglesias, and certainly from Mark Vientos. It was a very encouraging Game 1 victory. And what I'm about to say should not be construed as negativity. I want to now be honest, because what we just talked about was last night.
Mm-hmm.
And last night was great, but last night is over. It's 2:10 in the afternoon. We've all enjoyed the victory. We're all excited. We're all happy. But now it's on to the next. And on to the next is closing out the Brewers tonight. And they need to close out the Brewers tonight.
Let me
explain to you why. The Milwaukee Brewers, let me take you into the Brewers because I think this is important. They pressed last night. And you want to know why they pressed last night? Because a year ago, the Milwaukee Brewers hosted the wild card series at home against an Arizona Diamondback team that barely made the playoffs. And the Milwaukee Brewers choked. They lost. And most of the guys there, including Pat Murphy, who was on the bench next to Craig Counsell, remembers that. They all remember that. And I think when this game started, there was like this, an excitement. Like, we won 93 games. This team's better than last year. We're going to erase our bad memories. And I know no one cares about the Brewers, but trust me, this story matters. It's relevant to us. So they started last night with a little pep in their step. Mm-hmm. This is different. They scored two runs in the first inning. This is different. And then they got punched in the face. And to the Brewers' credit, right, they responded. They retook the lead in the fourth inning. And then when their manager, who's been there for a while, Pat Murphy, not his manager, but he was on the bench next to Craig Counsell, when he made the fatal mistake of taking his ace out and the Mets responded by dropping a steel chair on their faces and it became 8-4 Mets, you could see it. Oh, I smell it. And I can see it, and we all can see it. You know why we can see it? We've lived it. We've seen teams press. We've seen teams know, uh-oh, this isn't happening again. We all sat through 2007. We sat through 2008. We've sat through when a team knows, oh, my God. Yeah, no pun intended. It's happening again. And so why tonight is so important. Yes, the Mets have the safety net of tomorrow. Don't give them belief. This is a team that believes it's happening to them again. Mm. The Brewers believe, oh my God, we're literally going to lose at home again.
Oh my God.
I'm not even doing it on purpose.
It just comes out that
way. It's the opposite. Like the Brewers, and here's the proof of this. When the Mets punched him in the face in the top of the fifth inning, let's play a game. I'll play a little trivia question game. I got my scorebook in front of me. You don't, that's fine.
Go ahead.
How many base runners did the Brewers get? After the bottom of the fifth inning started?
I'm going to say two.
You go with two. That's a good guess. Hey, Sean, you want to guess?
None.
Thank you, Sean. Mm. Zero. Luis Severino, two perfect innings. Jose Buto, and yes, I love Big Buto, and I cannot lie, two scoreless innings. Ryan Stanek, 1-2-3. The Milwaukee Brewers looked like a team that knew it. They looked like a team that felt it. And it is imperative for the New York Mets in 5 hours to remind them who they are. Because if you give them belief, if you let them off the mat, then game three becomes a crapshoot. I put my hands up and say, I don't know what's going to happen. It's baseball. Don't let them off the mat. That was a beaten team last night. That was a dead team last night. Even, what's her name, behind the plate? Front row Amy. Front row Amy and I, we know each other. We know the deal, front row. Let me say something about front row. I got respect for front row. Front row loves to score games. But I know that front row doesn't call balls and strikes in her scorebook. Front row, I know that you don't.
How do you know this?
Oh, I know.
Because she's not busy enough while at the game?
That's right.
You can see it.
She's too busy positioning herself.
Yeah.
Front row, Amy, I respect you, but you're going down today.
She's going outs and on bases? That's it?
That's it. She's just doing singles and doubles.
Oh, that's lazy.
That's my trash talk, by the way.
I'm a loser.
I love front row, Amy. I have great respect for her. Anyone who sits there...
No, you don't. Clearly you don't.
Well,
you're knocking her for not keeping a proper book.
You know what this is? This is, I'm Jesse Winker and she's Willie Adames, okay?
Oh, well,
no. I'm the scoring Met guy. Oh. She's the scoring Brewer woman.
What's happening in the parking lot then?
A lot of bratwurst. She also does it with a pencil, Lev, so.
Yeah, you know what that shows? Weakness.
Mm.
It shows
lack
that you
attention.
Believe you're going to screw up, so you need an eraser.
Attention to detail.
You see this pen I got, Teague?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I make a mistake. I either live with it or I whip out the whiteout. What does front row Amy do? Uses her dopey little pencil. But even front row Amy knows. She can sniff it too. Mm. We all can sniff it. That's a baseball team that's scared.
Yeah.
And it is very important for Sean Manaea and this Met offense to finish the job. If we're sitting here before a game three, I'll admit it. I will be very worried.
You know what?
Don't let them off the mat, team.
You know what you need to do, Evan? You need to send it front row Amy a zebra pen.
You think so?
And see if she responds by working every ball, strike, out, hit, error, etc.
Yeah.
Don't need a non-finished book. Use the zebra pen.
That's right. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to send her a parting gift after the Mets eliminate her. Hopefully they do. And
for
that's
next
a zebra
year.
Pen.
Hey, dear, for next year.
And you know, the truth is, even if the Brewers come back and win this series, I'll still send her a zebra pen because I'll be rooting for the Brewers to knock off the Phillies. But tonight is really, really, really important. This is not house money. this is finishing the job. I believe if you let them off the mat, tomorrow night becomes a coin flip. I don't want to deal with a coin flip, TK.
I agree with you. You can't let chance come into play.
No.
And by chance, I mean a bad outing by whoever's on the mound or a bad day by your stars or whatever it may be. The good thing is for tonight is Frankie Montas is on the mound. And even though he was okay for a lot of the season, this last month hasn't been fantastic for him.
I admit, I don't watch the Brewers every day. I am a baseball geek. Some may say I like baseball. But I cannot understand how Pat Murphy is starting Frankie Montas. And I hope I don't regret to say that because he could go out and throw six scoreless innings tonight. Yeah. But Aaron Civale, who came out of the bullpen yesterday, I expected him.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias Myers, who I guess would pitch game three, I expect him. I don't expect Frankie Montas. And the Mets touched on him a couple days ago when the Mets faced the Brewers not too long ago. This lineup needs to perform. And I think it's really important to jump on them early because if you believe what I'm saying, if you smelled what I smelled last night from the Brewers once they went down 8-4, you really have to keep it on because you don't want to give them any hope.
Right. It's the proverbial neck on the foot on the neck.
Absolutely.
Right. Don't let them up.
Because I do think confidence plays a big part of this. The Mets are on a high right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets won the greatest regular season game in the history of the franchise. They made the playoffs on a high, and they built off of that with what they were able to accomplish, taking advantage of Brewer mistakes and getting Freddie Peralta out of the game after four innings and getting big hits. And they responded that way. And right now there's a belief among the New York Mets. That belief doesn't exist with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right.
Tonight, they have to finish the job.
In fairness, they didn't get Peralta out of the game. It was the skip who got him out of the game.
Well, look, however you want to dice it, Pat Murphy's explanation was so bad.
Of course it was. He had to parse it somehow.
He's like, there was hard contact against him. Well, you know what? If it was hard contact against him, then the Mets did get him out of the game.
That was an analytic decision that will get you beat in the postseason.
I agree.
I'm not going third time through the lineup.
And it is amazing to me that Carlos Mendoza managed his first postseason game yesterday. So did Pat Murphy, in fairness. Like, he is a rookie manager, even though he's really old. He's a rookie manager. But Carlos Mendoza was prepared. And Carlos Mendoza didn't blink.
Right.
Pat Murphy was blinking like he was a 12-year-old talking to a girl for the very first time. He was blinking all over the place. Mendy trusted his starting pitcher. Pat Murphy didn't. And those results led to the Mets being up 1-0 and being one win away from going to a place they have not been in 9 years, and that is the National League Divisional Series. Your calls coming up. 888-808-1019. Ever have a moment in life where you're doing something and you start to get reflective in the moment and say, wow, I really have a problem. What the hell's wrong with me? Has that ever happened to you, Tiki?
Not really.
He's so more balanced than I am. So here's what happened to me yesterday, and you tell me if I have a sick issue. And we'll get to your calls. The Mets one win away from the NLDS. So yesterday's Met game began at 5:30. Okay. We were on the air for the early part of the game. My plan was, once I get in my car, I'll pause the Met game from where we left.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get home, like I have all season long with DVR, I start the game from the point I left off at. So that's my plan. So I'm sitting in my car, very nervous, very anxious. It's the playoffs. Something's happening and I don't know, right?
Yes.
That's what's going through my mind. And then I'm in traffic. Really, really bad traffic. And I had a thought. I said, why not? Why can't I take my scorebook out right now? Why can't I put the game on my phone and start it from where I left? Why can't I score the Mets game while in New York City traffic?
I'm a loser.
Oh,
and Tiki, I proceeded to do that.
Oh, no. Write you a ticket now.
Well, I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, you weren't moving.
I was never moving when I wrote. I did not do anything dangerous. But the game would be on. And as soon as I stopped, which was every 10 seconds, I'd write it down. Oh, okay. Bryce Terang, double to center field. Double. Oh, okay. William Contreras, flied out the center. That's an eight.
No.
And so I proceeded, I'm not kidding you, to score the game for about an hour and being in traffic. But that's not all. Now the traffic broke. But man, I'm addicted. I can't give this up. But I also
pulled over to the side of the road?
That's the first thing I did, Tiki.
Oh, my Lord.
I would pull over the side of the road after each half inning and write down what happened in my scorecard. Very easy to remember. But then I said, I can't do this. This is going to take me forever to get home. What am I doing? So then I voice texted myself everything each player did.
Wow.
So that when I got home, I just jotted down.
Wow. I'm a loser.
Wow.
Your thoughts?
That is extreme. a little bit ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a tad bit dangerous, because even stopping on the side of the road is not, like, advisable.
No, I didn't stop on the side of the road. I stopped at a place called, like, the Cloisters or something. You guys heard of the Cloisters?
There's a Cloisters every half inning, F?
What?
There's a Cloisters every half
inning? No, that's the one place I stopped to do it, the Cloisters. Clearly people have sex there. And the reason I say that is because I've never been to the Cloisters, but I pulled over, and it's just a bunch of people parked for no reason whatsoever. So when I did it, and I'm writing in my scorecard, I'm starting to think to myself, what do people use this place for?
So everybody scores at Cloisters.
I'm assuming, and you guys can Google it, because I didn't have a chance to do it last night, I'm assuming there's a lot of activities at the Cloisters. Damn right I'm banging my friend's mom! I swear. Yeah.
Isn't that... I feel like I've seen it before.
It's in Upper Manhattan. It's off the West Side Highway. It's this big circle. Like, it's this big circle, and there's a ton of places for people to park. That's where I was jotting down the fifth inning. Oh, my God, the Cloisters was like sex for me. I'm writing down that whole fifth inning.
You just have so many problems, Evan.
Go ahead.
Also, I don't care how you stop every 10 seconds you're in traffic. That's illegal.
It's not illegal. I was doing it while I was parked.
No. You sit there because you're the guy that we have to honk the horn on when the traffic finally gets going.
Sean,
that's illegal. That's not hands-free.
Sean, I promise you, one honk. That was it.
I'm calling the police right now. I want a ticket written for you immediately.
There was a light that turned. It started to move, and the guy was a little aggressive on the horn anyway.
Yeah. Maybe he had to get home.
Yeah, he wants to get home to see his kids. Right. You're stopped to pencil in that B.J. Surhoff had a single.
B.J. Surhoff.
Pun intended. By the way, you're the only person... You're at, though, with the Cloisters, and most of the people there are smoking weed and having sex, and you're writing baseball players' names down on a piece of paper.
Yes.
And by the way, you're the biggest weirdo there.
Yes.
You are.
Yeah. No, I'm not arguing with you. But you got to Google that. I didn't get a chance to do that last night.
The Cloisters, I keep getting museums.
Yeah, it's a big museum in Upper Manhattan.
It's a big museum, but there's a million places to park. I didn't even see the museum. I saw a bunch of parked cars at 7 o'clock at night. What are they doing? I know what they're doing.
They're making their own history.
Yes, they are. So, yeah. I've got some major issues. I just wanted to come clean about that, and now we can move on with our day. 888-808-1019. Kyle's on Long Island. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, Ev? What's up, fellas? How's it going?
All's good.
Good, man.
Good. I have two quick points. Ev, did you get any deja vu last night watching the game between the 2015 NLDS Game 5 with DeGrom and how there was runners on throughout the first, like, four innings nonstop, and you were wondering if he was even going to make it through the first inning?
Yeah, you know, it's a great comparison. That's one of the Terry Collins' finest moments and Jake's finest moments when he had nothing and fought through those early innings against the Dodgers in a winner-take-all game. Here's the biggest difference. And this is more of a credit to Terry. Terry Collins was in an elimination game where he could have pulled Jacob DeGrom whenever the hell he wanted. I think Mendy was in this spot where he had to trust Severino because of the bullpen situation. So even if things went bad for Sevy, I think he was just going to have to live with it because of how kind of down men the bullpen was in last night's game. To me, that's the big difference.
Yeah. No, I definitely hear that out. And also, just kind of looking back at the 2022 team, that was a team that, like, struggled down the stretch when they were battle-tested with the Braves. And this team is completely different, and I'm so much more confident in this team, even though you could argue that they're less talented, because when they're battle-tested, they seem to play their best ball.
If I was a team in the playoffs,
I would not want to play this Mets team.
Look, it's a great point, and I think one thing, not even involving the players or comparing each guy, think about our emotions going into the postseason in 2022. Mm-hmm. You were around here at Tiki D on a local show. The Met fan was down.
Yeah.
We went into that series against San Diego down. You could feel it at Citi Field.
It was simply because of the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
Losing to the Braves and losing the division, which... It felt like it was more important, even though it was only 2 years ago. Division doesn't feel that important as much anymore.
You know what it is? I disagree. I think the division is important. I think sometimes it's how you get there. And because the Mets had led the entire season, it was such a buzzkill to not win the division that coming into the postseason...
So you let it emotionally affect you. And then I'm talking about the team now. I'm not talking about the fan, even though it was also the fan. The team let it emotionally affect them, which led to a subpar wild card series.
Right, and it doesn't always guarantee you that. I mean, the Texas Rangers, in a weird way, blew the division last year. They went into the wild card round. They won two straight games. They advanced. They moved on. They erased it. That Met team was unable to do it, and I felt a cloud as a fan going into that series. The feeling we have going into this series could not be more different. And if the Mets are ever lucky enough to host the game at Citi Field, which means they have to win tonight or tomorrow in advance, you're going to sense it in the electricity. I mean, Citi Field was almost dead in a lot of ways when they played the Padres 2 years ago. So I agree. I mean, it's a very different team, which is odd because it's only been 2 years. But the tone of this team is so different. The confidence we have in this team is so different. It couldn't be any more different than the feeling we all had 2 years ago. And we went over this yesterday. There's nobody left. No. There's only like eight guys in total from the roster in 2022 to now. Now, obviously, those are big names like Lindor and Alonso and Marte and Nimmo. But the pitching staff's completely different outside of Edwin Diaz and Adam Ottavino. And the manager's different. I mean, everything's different. Our show is different. Sean Morash is here. That's very different.
Much different.
By the way, you know what happened to Sean on the train yesterday?
What happened on the train to you, Sean?
So I had my incident of scoring a Met game while driving. Sean got trash-talked on the LIRR last night.
Did you really?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got in a very packed train. By the way, brilliant job by the Long Island Railroad. Can't figure these out. I had to stand up very tight, so I wasn't being able to sit down until Jamaica, where I had the transfer. Guy, without saying my name, turns to me and goes, huh. So you really don't watch any games, do you? And he pulled out his phone, was watching the Met Brewer game. And all I was doing was I was just waiting to get on a train where I could sit, relax, and enjoy the game. I didn't want to stand with my phone up and figure that all out. But he basically pitied me and said I'm not a real fan. He won't respect me on the air. It's basically what his might as well have said.
Nice.
He says you're a fraud.
Yeah. I looked, and then I was doing like the peek on his thing. He was hiding the phone upwards. It was a whole weird thing then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you should have just gone with the DVR line, man. Like, hey, I'm like Evan. I DVR the game. I want to watch the whole thing.
I think I was aggravated because I did want to sit down and relax right out of Penn Station and watch, and I couldn't do it. So, look, the bottom line is this. I respect this guy for not saying, hey, are you so-and-so? He went right to the punch and trash talk.
He went right in
and
there.
I give him credit for that. I'd love to know his Twitter handle.
I'm sure. Chris in Bayshore. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
What's up?
Couple of things. You guys were saying, talking about Murphy, and I don't think Mendoza's getting the credit that he deserves for a while now. And I think everything he's pushing is coming out right. And Murphy is he's a big time manager in the minor leagues and in college, so it's not like he's new to it, even though he's not a young guy.
Right. Well, he's new to it in that he's managing in the major leagues the first time in a postseason game, being a college coach, being the bench coach for Craig Counsell. It's a different world. Look, Mendy was a bench coach for a while. Mendy was sitting next to Aaron Boone. But right now, I'll take two layers to this. We've got the lineup and we got the pitching. I think with Severino last night, I don't want to take credit away from Mendy, but I just also want to be honest. I think he was in a spot where he had to push him no matter what. I don't think he had an option.
I mean, he was thinking about pulling him. And he got the lead back. And so,
yeah, I think that would have been a huge mistake. So I guess I do give him a little bit of credit for it. But I thought going into this game, like even when he gave back the lead in the fourth inning, they just only had four or five bullpen arms available. It was a tough spot where they needed to find a way to get six innings out of him. So I think very differently than other managers who have the freshest bullpens in the world, where you got all the pieces around you.
Yeah, like Pat.
He had pieces like kind of held behind his back.
Like Pat Murphy.
Yeah.
Who had a fresh bullpen behind him.
Yeah.
So he was able to make decisions based off analytics as opposed to, hey, Sevy, I need you to go. I don't know if he actually said that, but that's basically the gist of what happened in that dugout. Like, I need you to get more innings.
And it worked out.
It did.
Because he was able to settle down. I think
sometimes it's luck. Like, sometimes you make a decision. It is the wrong decision at the moment.
Right.
But it works out for you.
Yeah.
Because the guy steps up to the challenge. He performs, as Sevy did. He gets through six. And all of a sudden, you feel, and by the way, you have the lead now. So you just feel comfortable. And you can take a deep breath because it worked out. But sometimes it's just kind of luck.
Well, look at the decision that Murphy made. If Joel Piamps, who's pitched so well for the Brewers, locked down the fifth, and then, you know, Aaron Ashby comes
in. Piamps gets one more out.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen.
Well, who knows? I don't know what happens in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning.
You know what? But that inning.
Yeah.
That sparked what led to the Mets taking game one.
But sometimes, and I do this while I watch a game live, I give you the honest opinion of how I'm feeling at the time, whether it works out or not. At the time, and I'm driving. I think I was about to pull over to the Cloisters at this point. When I saw that Freddie Peralta was out of the game, I was celebrating.
Yeah.
So that's a first guess on my part from the other side.
It's kind
saying,
of,
damn.
It's kind of similar to the Braves game on Monday, the doubleheader, or at least the first of the doubleheader. It's like, just get Schwellenbach out of this damn game.
I understood that one a little bit more just based on where we were in the game, the pitch count. This is the fifth inning of a one-run game.
Right, and you have 68 pitches.
But Mendy does deserve a lot of credit. Where I guess I would disagree with our last caller is, I think he's getting a lot of credit. I think Met fans love Carlos Mendoza.
I do, too.
He's done a wonderful job.
Maybe he's talking nationally.
Yeah, I think the
Coach of the Year type of stuff.
Well, look, postseason has nothing to do with Manager of the Year, so let's keep that in mind. And I don't really care about awards. I don't think any of us should care about awards. But he has pushed all the right buttons.
Yeah, it just feels better when your guy wins it.
It's in November. I could care less.
I know, but it does feel better.
Does it?
Yeah, you go into next year saying, hey, we got the Manager of the Year.
How'd that work out for Buck Showalter when he won Manager of the Year in his first year with the Mets?
Yeah, but he wasn't the future. You knew that.
I understand, but then he got fired after the next season. It's not about awards. It's about pushing the right buttons and it working right now. And I think this lineup he has right now of Lindor, Iglesias at the top, especially Iglesias in the two-hole, it fits.
Yeah.
Nimmo, Vientos, Alonso, it fits. I think he may have the sweet spot right now with his lineup. And I love the fact that he went back to Jesse Winker. We talked about that yesterday. He had great career numbers against Freddy Peralta. Plus, Jesse Winker is a rat bastard heel. And the one thing about this is a compliment, by the way.
What do you think happened, by the way, on him with Adames?
Oh, I've got theories. I get that for you in about 10 minutes.
It was interesting what he said versus what Adames said.
Yeah, both said something. We'll let you hear what both guys said and really analyze that little dispute that occurred last night. But Jesse Winker's he's got a flair for the dramatic. He proved that against us for many years. So knowing the history that he has with the Brewers and Brewer fans, because Brewer fans hate Jesse Winker.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just give a comparison that every Met fan will understand and every Yankee fan will understand. Jesse Winker was on the Brewers last year. And he was terrible. And he made the postseason roster. No one wanted him to. And he was used a couple of times in some big pinch hit situations, and he struck out.
Right. That's why he got booed.
That's why Brewer fans hate him, yes. Jesse Winker hitting a bases-clearing triple in the second inning of a playoff game is equivalent to Daniel Vogelbach doing that against the Mets and Joey Gallo doing that against the Yankees. And by the way, those are spot-on comparisons, and that's how disgusted the Brewer fan feels after seeing Winker perform. Now, the difference between Winker and Vogelbach and Winker and Gallo is Winker is better than both of those guys.
Yeah, and he was better in moments throughout the back half of the season.
And he has this thing about him where it's like, oh, yeah, the louder you boo me, the more I'm going to stick it up your you-know-what. True. Giancarlo is in Bayside. Hey, Giancarlo.
What's going on, guys?
All good.
So you guys, Evan, you nailed it on the head that the Mets capitalized on the mistakes, but I feel like the big mistake of that fifth inning happened two plays before the Iglesias infield hit was that quote-unquote double by Tyrone Taylor that got misplayed by the left fielder.
Yep.
That was a momentum shifter. He robs Marte of the big possible home run. Then if he would have caught that line drive, which I feel like is the Brewers' kryptonite going back to 2019 with Juan Soto, you want to win a game against the Brewers, just hit a line drive to the Brewers' corner outfield.
That's right. That's a 2019 wild card game. That's a good pull by you. You're right. And that was a weird one because Jackson Churio made an amazing catch against Starling Marte. He took a home run away from him. So he makes a game-saving catch, maybe the play we're talking about, if things go badly for the Mets and the Brewers win. And then right after that, line drives it right at him, and he botches it.
Yeah.
So it's weird because a part of me wants to say, you're right, man, Jackson Churio was the GOAT, the bad GOAT for the Milwaukee Brewers. But he also made a home run-saving catch one batter earlier. So does it even itself out in a way?
I guess.
The real mistake, though, is Piamps not getting off the mound. Because if he gets off the mound in time and they get Iglesias at first base, no harm, no foul. The inning's over.
Yeah.
That was the play that really opened up opportunities. And look, Jose's been doing it all year. He's gotten a ton of infield hits. He puts the bat on ball. He's so perfect in that two-hole right now.
Yeah, he hustles. That's what you need in certain moments in games. You need someone who simply hustles.
This is a guy who a few months ago thought his career was over.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a pop star who's hitting 340, who's been a catalyst for a team in the playoffs. And 4 months ago, he thought his career was over.
And a very ballsy maneuver.
You never know when you get inspired, internally inspired.
No, you're right.
That's what it feels like.
No, I get you, man.
And by the way, it's also belief. Like, the team believes in him.
Yes.
And it's mostly because of the song, I think, before the production. Even though the production happened before the song was public to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there was a point where he was hitting 400 this season.
I know. He was incredible.
Right? It was unbelievable. There wasn't a ton of at-bats, but I think his team believed in him.
No doubt. He's been one of the catalysts as a leader and as an inspiration.
Yes.
What were you trying to say?
Are you aware of the next step here?
Yeah, I'm aware of everything, Sean.
That on October 11th, we're dropping a remix with Pitbull?
Yeah, I don't like that. Why? I love Jose. I don't like that.
Why? Because what if they get eliminated or the down versus the Phillies in the next round when that drops?
Yeah. Okay.
At the end of the day, he does have to look out for number one.
So can't he wait till after the season to drop the remix?
No, because it's not as popular.
So you guys are both right, obviously. For Jose Iglesias personally, he is dropping a remix with Pitbull and somebody else, who I guess is famous. I'm not familiar with that.
I was unfamiliar. That's why I didn't say the name.
Okay. But Pitbull is I got the name written down. I wasn't familiar with him. Now, maybe that's on me. Maybe I just don't know enough. His name is Sylvester Dangond. Dangond. They're going to be the featured artists in an OMG remix that's set to drop on October 11th, which is a week from Friday, which would be, if the Mets advance, the potential date for a Game 5 of a divisional series.
Superstar vocal and percussion work.
Okay.
Colombian.
So here's where Sean is kind of right. As high as we are as Mets fans, there is a chance, probably a good chance, that the Mets are eliminated by the time this is remixed and put out. And that's not me being negative. That's me reminding you, if the Mets win, they go play the Phillies. The Phillies are going to be big favorites. Sure, the Mets have a shot, but that series could end in 3 or 4 games. That's a possibility, okay?
Okay.
Don't take it as a likelihood. Okay, maybe it is a likelihood, but it's a possibility. You are playing a dangerous game with the emotions of baseball fans when you say, hey, I'm going to do this awesome remix, but it's coming out on a day in which potentially it may be mocked by Philly fans and Yankee fans. So Sean is right, and I raise my hand as a Met fan and say, I don't love that. But Tiki's right in that Jose Iglesias has newfound fame.
Yes,
he does. He's thinking about himself as an artist, and it's not affecting him on the field, so I'm not mad about that. He continues to be great on the field. But yeah, when I saw this tweeted out by the SNY Mets account, I got a little bit of a stomach ache. A little bit of a,
You know what? I said good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of his moment.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how long he does not know how long he's going to be a Met, much less in the league.
I get that.
You could use this to elevate your platform while still performing, then all power to you.
I know he doesn't mind, but let's say the Mets do advance and they lose a hard-fought series to the Phillies in 4, okay?
Okay.
Don't you think that's going to be mocked that 2 days after being eliminated, he's got an OMG remix coming out?
I don't know. I think more so the community that loves that music is going to say, oh yeah, I remember that guy. Yes, maybe locally, maybe by fans who are upset, but I think the music industry is going to be like, oh, yeah, he had a good season.
Okay, the music industry is going to have a field
day. That's what matters.
What matters to him, but if they're on the verge, I don't know the timing out, if they're one game away from elimination and then the Phillies eliminate him, that's when they get danced on the Mets.
Yeah, that day is supposed to be released.
That's the risk you take.
It is a risk, no doubt.
That day it comes out.
I think it also will depend on how he, if he is heavily involved, performs. Like, if he goes
the
over.
The song or the bat?
No, him. No, the song is going to be great.
The day
you know it's going to be great because the original is great,
dude. I love OMG.
It's really hard to screw up a hit. And by the way, that's one of the top hits in the Latin music scene right now.
But Tiki, I think what Evan's alluding to, what I'm alluding to, is I'm going to take you inside what I've already drafted on Twitter, which is: could we get a Jose Iglesias performance now of OMG live right when they get eliminated? I've already got that drafted ready.
I'm sure you do. And Philly fans,
480 likes ready to go.
And if the Mets are playing the Phillies, and I hope they are because it means they win one of the next two games, Philly fans are going to be all over it. Mm. We're going to be mocked mercifully. And maybe that doesn't bother you. At the end of the day, I'll be more upset that they got eliminated. But that's the only risk when you announce something coming out.
As a player, it wouldn't bother me.
So I'm dead serious. It's not a troll question because Tiki's an athlete. Do you think if Jose Iglesias could only pick one, it would mean more for him this year to win a World Series or a Grammy?
A Grammy.
I thought he would say that. And honestly, I don't blame because that's doing something unique and different.
But I'm going to give credit to the power of Met fans. If the New York Mets win the World Series, just stick with me here, right? I gave you the negative that they get knocked out by
the
Phillies.
They probably go hand in hand. Like, if he wins the, you're right, Evan.
What you're saying is right. Tiki already knows what I'm about to say.
What you're saying is actually more correct.
If the Mets win the World Series, he's going to win a Grammy. That song is going to go platinum, if that makes any sense.
Right.
I know for me, I'm just one guy. Lugie's just one guy. If the Mets win the World Series, that song lives forever.
That's why it's brilliant to do it at this point, because when that song propels them to a World Series title, the song takes off, and now you have Pitbull attached to it.
Right, but you could do that later. You can do that after you win a World Series. Doing it this early, there is a mock risk factor.
You could also sleep with a nightlight till you're 50. I don't care what the Philly fans or Sean Marash, who has to sit in the corner and be quiet all week because his team's not playing baseball, so he's drafting up tweets for next week.
Okay,
I
do have to respond to you. Number one, you will care if the Mets get eliminated.
I will not.
Yes, you will.
I will not.
And number two, you can't mock Sean or a Yankee fan. They earned a bye. It's not like they've been eliminated.
This is very
They
true.
Earned a bye that I wish the Mets had. So, oh yeah, you have to sit in the corner. Yeah, he's sitting in the corner because they had the best record in the American
But maybe you should draft up a tweet about your baseball team.
He's also partially right. I'm bored as hell.
He's beyond bored out of his mind. You could tell. That's all. And I just wouldn't look at, TK, I love you. Don't look at this from the negative point of view. Look at it from a positive point of view. Look at it how that song will propel them to win the World Series. Not how people who are going to mock us no matter what. This, we're
I'm
talking about Philly people who are miserable
him.
Losers.
I'm not people are going to mock him. I think the community that matters is going to relish this remix. They're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. Regardless of what's going on.
If...
Maybe Met fans don't want to hear it?
Well, after we get eliminated, I don't want to hear it, no. Maybe a couple of months later I will, because maybe I'll look back at the season fondly.
Because it won't be the same.
You know, okay, so here's where you may be half wrong on this. There is another song that's linked to me as a Met fan that when I hear, I smile.
Okay.
And it was not a year that obviously ended in a championship. Back in 1999, the rally song for the New York Mets was L.A. Woman by Jim Morrison.
L.A. Woman?
Yeah, L.A. Woman. The Doors, right? And so there's this verse in the song that they would always play after the Mets won. It was, Mojo Rising. The Mets ended up losing in the NLCS that year. They lost a brutal Game 6 to the Atlanta Braves. So it did not end with a championship. But I go back and I look at that season pretty fondly. Even all these years later. It has a lot of pain in it, but it's fun.
So what you're saying is that if the season ended, I don't know, after the Philly series, that OMG would have... a negative connotation?
I didn't say one way or the other. I'm saying possible that down the road, even in a non-championship year, I could look back fondly at a rally song. I look back fondly 25 years to that part of a Doors song because it brings back great memories. I don't think the wild card series is enough. I don't even know if the divisional series is enough.
But forget the series.
But I can look back at the song fondly.
But forget the playoffs.
What?
Just think of the season.
Yeah.
This season was epic for the Mets.
No, I get you.
Unbelievable.
Hasn't been epic enough quite yet.
Downs though. And then massive ups and then drama all the way to the end. What do you mean it hasn't been epic?
I think if they lost
they had
the
to
next...
play a doubleheader the day after the season
I
and they won in dramatic fashion
I think if
in
they,
Atlanta.
I think if they lost the next two games to Milwaukee, I don't think I'd look back at OMG fondly, personally. I don't think I would. And I say think because you never know.
I think you're wrong. I think.
Well,
I think,
no.
I think you're skewing your immediate history, your immediate emotion on what the history of this season is going to be.
Well, I think losing in the wild card round would be very tough for me to look back and celebrate a season and get goosebumps when I hear a song. Getting to the sixth game of the NLCS.
Goosebumps, but you're going to hear the song and you're going to be like, oh, that was an awesome song. And that was an awesome regular
Tiki,
season.
I don't know yet. I'm just saying I won't do it immediately. If they lose tomorrow.
I think you're waiting like heavy. You're waiting too much. Of the postseason.
Oh, it's everything, bro.
On what that song is going to mean to
you. It's everything.
Of course it's everything, but it's independent of the emotion that song's going to give you. I'm not even Met fans, and that song is cool as hell.
It's a very cool song, but I think you connect it with what you accomplish.
Yes, what you accomplish because of that song. Everybody thought it was Grimace and the rally pimp and everybody. It was always that song.
It was OMG.
And we didn't realize it until we actually went to the game at Citi Field and did our show from the Cadillac Club. When that's all you heard. It's like, man, how big is this song actually?
Yeah.
And then we got the news that it was going to be released, whenever it was, a couple weeks later, etc. They played it. We didn't realize they were playing it all the damn time.
That's a good song.
It's a great song.
I like
the
song.
For this team. It rallied them. It galvanized them.
It did.
It kept them together.
It did.
So
if you are a real Met fan,
oh, don't do the real Met fan thing.
You get the import of the song on this season. And this season was epic.
When Tiki wants to prove a point on me, he whips out the real fan card. It's a very vicious thing that he does, but I respect it. Because you know what Tiki says? If we're going to fight, I'm going to fight dirty. Speaking of fighting, what the hell happened between Jesse Winker and Willie Adames? We'll try to explore it, plus more of your happy Met calls or nervous Met calls at 888-808-1019.